I will never forget my introduction to this center, to this philosophy, this way of living and being in the world. I met Reverend Nancy, and I remember she reached over and she patted my arm, and she said, "Dear, let me tell you a little bit about what we believe." And in the next 5 or 10 minutes, that woman spoke more truth than I think I'd ever heard in any church or all the churches I'd ever been in my entire life up to that point. It just made sense. And I had this feeling that this is something that I already knew, I already believed in. It was in my heart, but it was articulated. It was spoken in a way that I could understand and really take in. It was so well done, but I really felt like it was something that I learned in that moment. Something that I already knew that I was awakened to. Well, thank you all for coming out today, coming out on this snowy Sunday before Thanksgiving. It's a little challenge to get here, but thank you very much for coming. And thank our beautiful music department, Jenna, Zoe, the choir. Thank you all so much. What a gift you are to all of us. The title of my talk today is Your Guru. Could be Finding Your Guru. I think that most of us are here for kind of a combination of two things. One is fellowship and connecting with other people. And the other component is establishing or finding or exploring a different connection with our higher power. However you choose to see that higher power, it's our connection to that higher power. And this philosophy, this way of being, enables us to establish that kind of a connection and that type of an understanding. So I think that most of us are here for sort of a combination of those two things. And as we step into this and as we learn more about community, as we learn more about our connection to a higher spirit, we find that there is a tremendous amount of information out there today. I mean, just go to the internet and, oh my goodness, there's just a plethora of things spiritual in what we do. The internet is full of it. And it seems like every day there is another book that's out with, you know, self-improvement and how to live and how to be in the world and all these tips on what to do. And we can listen to everything from Oprah to the list goes on and on and on. There's just a whole plethora of information out there. And it seems like that every day there's a new and greatest guru, the latest guy that's got, or gal, that's got all of the answers, that has everything canned. And we, I think, as people have been trained to look outside of ourselves for our direction. You know, when we're little, we're taught to look at our parents. When we're older, we look at our teachers and then our bosses. Today, we're deluged by the media telling us what to think and believe. And then always there's the newest, greatest guru. And it seems like there's almost a mantra of just tell me what to believe, and I'll believe it. I'm ready to go along with it. But I think the seekers resist that. They want to think for themselves. We look for that one book, that one source, the one philosophy that can give us all of the answers. But it simply doesn't work that way. There is a problem with assigning responsibility for our learning to someone else. Because what they give is they give their knowledge from their perspective, their life experiences, their discoveries, and it may not fit you. This does not mean that they don't have anything to offer, because very often they do. In fact, almost always they do. I would say that everyone and every situation and every book has something to offer. but not everything that you see and read will work for you. But there might be a nugget of truth in there if you take the time and the effort to find it. You're not looking for something new. You're remembering what you already know. And it brings me back to Reverend Nancy. Reverend Nancy, I don't think ever taught me anything new, but she sure helped me remember something that I already knew, something that was always inherent in what we know. But how do you recognize it? The answer is simple. You can feel it. We are our own best guru. My sincere hope and desire is that you find something here today, every Sunday, that resonates with you the way the things that Reverend Nancy said to me resonated with me. They just make sense. Something that evokes that feeling. Now, you may have a negative reaction to some things, and that's okay. I encourage you to find your own truth. You are your own best teacher. I encourage you to listen to your inner voice, think for yourself, and don't delegate the responsibility of deciding what is true for you to someone else. You are the only guru you will ever need. Think of the words of Lao Tzu. If you look to others for fulfillment, you will never truly be fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. Now, just as Ernest Holmes looked for the common teachings of many of the world's religions and then wove them together in this thing that we call a science of mind, I think that we can go to many of these gurus and see what their teachings are and look for the commonalities in there. So I did a little bit of that. And so I've come up with a few things. Cicero said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. Once again, Lao Tzu said, the heart that gives gathers. Meister Eckhart, if the only prayer you ever say in your whole life is thank you, then that would suffice. From the Christian Bible and Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he stated simply, in everything, give thanks. And our founder, Ernest Holmes, said, an attitude of gratitude is most salutary and bespeaks the realization that we are now in heaven. How we love to do for those who cooperate with and are grateful for our small endeavors. Gratitude is one of the chief graces of human existence, and it is crowned in heaven with a consciousness of unity. So I think we can identify at least one of the common threads of all of these gurus, all of the teachings, the mystics and the sages of the past, and that is gratitude. And some of you were wondering how I was going to turn this into a Thanksgiving sermon. So what is this attitude of gratitude? A lady by the name of Roberta Messner told a fascinating story in Guidepost magazine a few years ago. She was a nurse. She was living by herself. She'd gone through a divorce. She had purchased an antique log home in her home in West Virginia, Huntington, West Virginia. And she loved her home. And she loved her neighborhood. She lived in a cul-de-sac, and everybody knew everybody else. And everybody was friends with everybody else. The women would get together for tea on her porch, and she loved having them over. And during the holidays, all of the women would make Christmas cookies and exchange Christmas cookies. They were a really tight, loving community. But nature will not let us stay in one place too long, and some people moved away and others moved in, and some people passed away and other people moved in. And that loving nature seemed to subside a little bit. And it kind of reached a culmination one time after Roberta's mother had passed away. The funeral director had came and he parked his car, and it extended just a little bit into her new neighbor's driveway. And it was only there a few short moments, but she got a complaint because a car had been blocking the neighbor's driveway. But the worst of her new neighbors were the people directly across the street in the red brick house. It was a man and his two teenage sons. She called them the noisy men because they liked to work on their cars. And all hours of the day and night, there'd be bang, 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 bang. Hey, throw me a wrench. And then they'd be gunning their engines to test their work on their car. Vroom, vroom, loud in the middle of the night. Breaking her silence. She was a nurse and she worked long, long, hard hours. And she needed her sleep. She needed the time to be up there. And yet they'd be out there with their cars and making noise all night long. And she just did not care for those neighbors. One night she came home after a long, long shift, about this time of year, about these kinds of conditions, only maybe quite a bit worse. It was a blizzard, one of the worst blizzards in West Virginia's history. It was just this terrible blizzard. She came around the corner, came to the cul-de-sac and looked around, and she was so thankful that she made it home. She was happy she was there. She looked over the cul-de-sac and not a light was on anywhere, except directly across the street. And she could see the blue light of the television flickering in there. And she thought, wouldn't you know, the night owls are in there. But at least it's cold and they won't be out there banging on their cars and revving their engines, and I'll get some sleep tonight. So she went in, she opened the door, she flipped on the light and stepped back and gasped. Her washroom had over a foot of water in it, and it was rising quickly. She looked down and her wastebasket was bobbing along like a boat in the ocean. Her house was being flooded. And while now it was confined to the lower floors, pretty soon it was going to be up to where she had her expensive antiques, and her prized possession of all was her baby grand piano. And she immediately panicked. She went up, she got on the phone, she called her handyman. He said, Roberta, it's the middle of the night. I couldn't even get there. It's a blizzard. Have you looked outside? She says, yes, but my house is flooding. You have to come. Roberta, I can't. The earliest I could be there would be tomorrow morning. So she quickly checked plumbers in the area. She started calling every plumber that she could dial in the area. Everyone. She got voicemail, she got a recording, and she knew she wasn't going to get a call back before morning. So she sat there dejected, didn't know what she could do. And then she thought of that blue flickering light across the street. And so she plucked up her courage and she walked out and she went over and knocked on the door. And there he is. Mr. Noisy himself, spaghetti strap t-shirt, Bud Light in one hand. And he said, Roberta, what are you doing out there in weather like this? First thing that went around, how did he know my name? And then she explained that she said, there must be some kind of a burst pipe. There's something wrong and my house is flooding. And he said, I'm on it. And he shouted to his boys, boys, get to the garage and get the shovels. Meet me over at Roberta's now. And he pulled on his rubber boots and took off across the street. While he went inside and started to look at the problem inside, the boys immediately started shoveling her yard, trying to find the outdoor shutoff. And they shoveled for over an hour, never pausing anything. They worked and worked and worked. And then all of a sudden, hey, Dad, get out here. And so he went out and they had found the shutoff. He had the right tool. He reached down and he shut off the water main. And he says, Roberta, I'm sorry that, you know, you're going to have to go without water tonight. But he said, at least it's not going to flood anymore. And she said, oh, thank you so much. I am so grateful. She said, I have some bottled water. I can get through the night, but I couldn't have taken it if it would have flooded anymore and got to the rest of my house. I just thank you so much. And he said, okay, great. We'll be over first thing in the morning. And she says, oh, no, I don't think so. We'll have to wait a couple weeks until I get my next paycheck. And he said, oh, I'm not going to hear of that. He said, I'll be over in the morning. And sure enough, first thing the next morning, he was there with his two boys. And they began to work. And he discovered where the leak was. He looked at this cinder block and concrete wall. And with the precision of a surgeon, he attacked that wall. And he cut out the concrete in the block wall. He took it out and he began to dig. The boys are helping him. They are extremely polite. They, doctor, yes, ma'am. No, thank you, ma'am. They were extremely polite young men. And they dug and they dug and he found the leak. He found the burst pipe. He was able to make the corrections, do what needed to be done. And he got her water by that night. The next day he was out there with a pump. He pumped water out of her house. He just really took great care of her. She was deeply appreciative and she was really moved by what he'd done. She could see the dollar bills rolling in her head. She said, how did you, you know, you were so great. How did you know to do all that? And he said, oh, I guess you didn't know. That's my business. I'm a plumber. No, she said, I didn't know that. And he said, yeah, my name's Nick. And she said, thank you, Nick. So 2 weeks later, when her check came in, she knew she couldn't pay the whole bill, but she knew that she could make some type of a payment. She was thinking it was going to be $5,000, $7,000, maybe even $10,000. I mean, three men working all day for several days, and plus all that they did in the middle of the night. So she sat there with her checkbook and she said, how much is it going to be? And he looked at her and he said, oh, I think $500 ought to cover it. And she says, no, that can't be right. That can't possibly be that right. And then he said something really profound. He said, Roberta, we're neighbors. And neighbors do things for their neighbors. He only charged her for the parts that it took to make the repairs. Well, I told you it was this time of year, so you know what was coming up pretty soon was time for the ladies to exchange their Christmas cookies. She made sure that all of the ladies included cookies for Nick and his boys. And the next year, when Nick gave a cul-de-sac barbecue, she was the first person to sign up to bring a side dish. Later that summer, she was laying in her bed. Bang, bang, bang. Hey, throw me a wrench. Vroom, vroom. And she just smiled. And she was so thankful to have such wonderful neighbors. And so it is that feeling of attitude. It is that attitude of gratitude that makes it different. For you see, Nick didn't change. Roberta changed. And it was the gratitude in her that allowed her to see beyond the noise and to see the goodness in this man and his boys. And that is what we are all about this day. Is gratitude as we come together as a community. to celebrate each other, to celebrate this time of year, and to be grateful for all that we have, the food, the fellowship, and the love that is this center. So the conclusion, what I want you to take away, it's kind of a homework assignment. Every morning when you wake up, I want you to remember that you are your own best guru. And every night before you go to sleep, take a few moments to give thanks for something good in your life. I'm going to close with one more Lao Tzu quote. If you want to awaken all of humanity, then awaken all of yourself. If you want to eliminate the suffering in the world, then eliminate all that is dark and negative in yourself. Truly, the greatest gift you have to give is that of your own self-transformation. And so it is with this gratefulness, this gratitude on our hearts, that I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to